you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. You call me deeper still as you call me deeper still as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you.
Good morning, everyone. We're glad you're here. Happy New Year. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? Anyone? Nobody. Oh, Bria made one. Good. Maybe they're a thing of the past, but when I was thinking of songs for a New Year's, I thought of what would be a good New Year's resolution song, and I thought, to glorify thee. Wouldn't that be kind of the ultimate New Year's resolution? Throughout this next year, if we had a goal to glorify God in everything we did and said, I think that would be a good objective, so.
May my life be to thy praise, O Father. In all I do, may thou be magnified. Thou chosest me before the world's foundation, thine own to be, that thou be glorified. To glorify thee, this is my plea. Work out thy purpose, thy plan for me.
Why don't you wish your neighbor a happy new year, and then you can be seated.
Well, I'll say it one more time. Happy New Year. It's great to get together on January 1st, 2017. This morning I was thinking 2017, and I almost said 1917. Whoa, that's long before us. But and then it made me start thinking of, okay, what, you know, the new year, what has happened in this past year. And one event that I encountered about 2 months ago, I went to a Promise Keepers event, and along with five other men from our church here, and one of the speakers talked about what Jesus has done for us, and he referred to the account of Jesus's crucifixion in Luke 23, and they're hanging on the cross, and the criminals are mocking him, and in one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." He wanted to be included in this too. But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly. We're getting what we deserve." But this man did nothing. He is innocent. And what the speaker brought across that stuck with me, God treated Jesus the way that I deserve to be treated, so that God could treat me the way he wanted to treat Jesus. And I thought, wow, that's that just it kind of hit me. And you know, we are significant. God does love us. And brought in Psalms 13, 5 and 6. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." And we've been singing that this morning already. So let's bow for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, I just come to you this morning. I thank you for this opportunity that you've given us as Christians to gather together to praise you and to look forward to another year with you, recognizing that you are in total control. Nothing happens that you are not allowing, it might be something that we don't think is what we want, and yet you have a purpose for it. Help us, Lord, to submit ourselves to your leading in your direction, your guidance. I pray that you would bless all that we do this morning in church here, as we worship together, as we fellowship together. Help us to feel your presence amongst us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I will have a couple of announcements that I need to make. Just a reminder that at the end of January, on the 29th, there is a memorial service here for Edna Penner, just for your reminder to put on your calendar. Not sure if Keith Thiessen is here this morning, but he is reminding us that there's the Camp Evergreen Pond hockey tournament happening on January 14th. Keith has a team in there that he'd love for us to come and cheer him on, but he'd also appreciate if we'd sponsor him. So, yeah, contact Keith and he'd surprise him, give him a check. A different kind of check than you get on ice. Another announcement, way in the future, March 12th is our church's annual general meeting. And just put it on your calendar and that we don't plan for something else on that evening. Also, one other announcement that is not in our bulletin, and we will be praying for this situation. Last evening, just before midnight, Virginia Suke passed away, went to be with her Lord. Her family was with her, and we just want to remember this family at this time, and because of the recentness of her passing, details will be forthcoming later on, so we have to keep that in mind. Before I pray the prayer for what's on the back of our bulletin here, I want to read what our missionaries, Trevor and Joan, say. They are missionaries in Guadalajara, Mexico. As we look ahead now, once again, I'm asking God for a focus word in 2017. How will that theme word, and together seems to be the word that he's thinking here, how will that word become a part of this year's events and God's transformation in our lives? On January 23rd, we start the year's Hadaim programs with new students from Colombia, Peru, and Mexico. Please pray that God will provide all that they need for their six-month or one-year discipleship and mission training. If you have a few weeks between March and June that you would like to spend cooking or gardening in Mexico, just say yes. We have a spot for you in our community at the Matthew Training Center. In June of 2017, we're trusting God to lead our Colombian partners, our Hadaim mission students and us, in doing the Building Leaders for Peace initiative in Colombia. This will require lots of preparation, prayer, faith, and more prayer to bring together the people God chooses for this new initiative. Colombia is ripe for a Prince of Peace movement after generations of unrest and violence, and we are sensing God's invitation to be there with him in his peacemaking presence. So that's something that we don't have to just pray just for this morning. I'd encourage you to pray throughout the week about that as well. This time I'll call our ushers forward, and we'll take the morning's tithes and offerings. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you once again, Lord, for being with us here. And Father, we want to just remember the Suke family today. Walt and the rest of the family, I pray, Father, that you would be an encouragement and a comfort to them. I ask for your hand of love to just be upon them and help them to be encouraged by you, Lord. Pray for Gladys Mammel at the Bethany Cochran, and we ask that you would encourage her today and give her a good day. We pray for the Canadian Conference of Mennonite Brethren Churches. We ask that they would the leadership there would be able to make good decisions and that we would sense your presence. I pray for Aaron Kung, who is taking chemical engineering at U of A, and as he'll be going back to school here shortly, we pray that you would just give him the ability to faithfully stand up for you and to be your light where he is at and to remember that you are with him. We pray for Trevor and Joan as they do mission work in Guadalajara, Mexico, and Lord, these initiatives that they are working on for this year, we pray your blessing upon them. We pray for the people who will be involved. We ask that your hand would guide and bless them. And we ask, Lord, that you would make that whole initiative very productive and fruitful for your cause. Lord, you have blessed us over this last year, and we want to give back to you now a portion of what you have entrusted to us. We pray that you would just use it to further your kingdom, and that you would be honored by all that is given here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If I could have the kids who are here come up to the front, I have a story for you. I guess you're all over there now. So, one of my favorite stories is about Jonathan and his armor bearer. And you may know the story that Jonathan was the prince of Israel. And he and his armor bearer were out. And Jonathan says to his armor bearer, "See that garrison of Philistines over there? Let's go and attack it." And Jonathan says, "Because it may be that the Lord will help us, for nothing hinders the Lord from saving by many or by few." While it was really daring, there was just two of Jonathan and his armor bearer and a whole lot of Philistines in that garrison, but Jonathan knew that the Lord was on his side. And I think that's a really good verse for the first day of the year, because we look at the year and we don't know what's going to happen. I think there's about 364.7 days left. What do you think? And who knows what's going to be in those days? It looks like a lot of Philistines on the horizon to me. But when we have the attitude of Jonathan and say, "It may be that the Lord will help us," that gives us a lot of courage just to go into the year, do the things that we need to do, because nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. Now, do you know the end of the story? Well, the Philistines saw them and said to them, "Come up here, you twerps, and we're going to teach you a lesson." And so Jonathan and his armor bearer went up there, and they taught the Philistines a lesson. They taught the Philistines that it really matters which God is on your side. And Jonathan and the armor bearer, they had the Lord God, the living Lord, on their side, and the Philistines had a dead God on their side, and they lost. So, a good lesson for day one of 2017. Let me pray for your year. Father, as we stand on the edge of a year that we know nothing about, we do know you, and you know the year, and you know what's coming, and you have been good to us, and will take care of us. So we entrust ourselves in your hands, knowing that nothing can hinder you from doing what you want, and what you want is good. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, no Sunday school, so back to your families.
Well, Pastor Chris and I didn't really talk, but this song actually fits really well with what he just talked about. So why don't we stand as we sing, "Whom Shall I Fear?" You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Must we need your tender care? In your pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, your folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you have bought us, yours we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you have bought us, yours we are. We are yours in love, befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Blessed Jesus, hear your children when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear your children when we pray. You have promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. You have mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, let us early turn to you. Blessed Jesus, let us early turn to you.
Please be seated.
Well, this first Sunday we dedicate to telling testimonies, and we have had some really wonderful first Sunday of the years. So I am really looking forward to what we have for this morning. It just seems to be an appropriate time to do it, to think about what has happened in the previous year, how God has been good to us, and it gives us courage to go into the next year. That line in the song, God of Angel Armies, you are the God who stands before me and the God who stands behind me. And so the God before me is what Jonathan and the armor bearer were looking at. These testimonies are about the God stands behind us, and we pick up what he has done and helps us go forward into the year coming. Now, tried to leave as much time as possible for this. I have asked six different people or groups to get something ready, and they have. And so we will hear those first. And then after that, there will be time, I really hope, unless apparently Mike Ratzliff told Yasmin to go 3 hours, in which case we will not have time for other people. But if she does not, then I'm hoping that there will be time for people just to come up and share what God has done in their life. So I'm going to give the six, and I would like to give just a little introduction to each one before they come up, but I'll list them off now. We are going to have Bria Taves, and then Gordon and Lee Dreger, Bill Gates, and then Diana Gerritsen and Brenna Straub together, Yasmin Ghanem, and Tyler Cox. And then after that, we will make time for others. So we are going to begin with Bria Taves, and kind of our category is people who've had a big year. Seems like Bria's been everywhere in 2016. So we are looking forward to what you have to say. Bria, start us off.
Hi, my name is Bria Taves. I'm Byron and Donna's daughter. This is my story, but it's not. It's God's. This is my life verse, John 3:30. He must come greater, I must come less. In the last year, I went to Bible school in Thetis Island to Cape Renee. And the last 3 months, I've been at Quebec at the Bible school there at Cabernet. Going to Bible school the first time was, it was hard because I didn't have trust in the Lord, but still God still loved me. All the things that I did in my life in the last years broke my mind and my heart, and I stopped caring about people and things that just brought joy to my life, like my family and my friends. But God's love was all I needed, and that's what I learned at Bible school. But I thought I was made wrong, and I thought something was wrong with all the sin and my anger with people, and things seemed like there was just something going wrong with my life. And it's kind of funny because God meets us wherever we are, and that's what he did to me. John 13:35 says, "But I know by this everyone who knows that you are my disciple, if you only love one another." This verse was meaningful to me, where through everything that I was doing, I didn't know what I was going to do this next year. And, well, halfway through Bible school, I found out that I was going to Haiti. So God's little angels that got here, so I'm going there in February for 3 months, hopefully for longer if I do. And so it's going to be fun, and hopefully it's going to be a good year. And the last verse that I wanted to share is Psalms 147, verse 3. He heals our brokenhearted and binds up our wounds, and that's it.
Thank you, Bria. A very good start. Now, I have Gordon and Lee Drager. They're just a couple that I would like you to meet. So I asked them if they would come up and answer some questions, which I have already sent to them, so they're not surprised. But I'll call them up. They're new to our congregation, and we will get to learn a little bit about this wonderful couple. This is for you. I don't know how you worked out who will answer. Okay, here's my first question. Tell us about your move to Acme. Where did you come from, and why did you move to Acme?
Well, why would we move from beautiful BC to sunny Alberta? That's a pretty good question. Okay, why we moved from Nelson, BC is our children are all here. Lionel is in Airdrie. Terry is in Didsbury, Kelvin is in Calgary, and our other son is right here in Acme. And we got a call from our second oldest son. He said, if we're going to look after you people in your older age, which we're getting up in that age bracket, he said, you're going to have to move here. We're not moving all to BC. I don't know why, but. So this is how come we moved to Acme, Alberta, and it's been a great, great move. It's been a stressful move, especially when you get people in their 80s. I'll tell you, we're still trying to find stuff. And now, this summer, we had a roof put on our building, and all four of our kids were there. What a blessing it was for all four of our kids. Now this Christmas, we had three of our kids for Christmas, and on Thursday we met we stayed with the other one and had a meal with them. Now, this is after 40 years, we were finally blessed to come and be with our children.
Nice.
For yes, Christmas.
For Christmas. Nice.
Oh.
Yeah. Good for you. How did you hear about Linden MV Church?
Oh, from Peggy and Bill Bauer. They turned out to be best friends of ours. We just love them. And they're the ones that, well, we went to the seniors' place. That's the only place I could think to go and meet people. And so we went to the seniors, and I just walked in, and I said, hey, we just moved here, and we want to meet some of our neighbors. And they just started clearing space at the table for us, and Peggy was up and getting us everything, our cake, which they had that day, and coffee and everything, and we've been with them ever since, and we just love them.
Well, I knew that when you met Bill and Peggy that you would be treated very, very well.
Yeah, right, first year.
All right, how long have you been Christians, and when did you first learn to know Jesus Christ?
We've been Christians, I would say, 40 years now. And I don't know, that's when we first did it. We were in Cranbrook, and we met a lot of Christians there, and good Christians, and that really helped.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, this one I've already heard your answer to, and it's great. Okay. So the Holy Spirit gives every person a gift with which to serve others. What are the gifts that you think that God has given you to serve?
I'm not sure about that one. But I think it's still, we love to meet new people.
Yes.
And I think we're quite friendly. I like to think we are. So that's about it. We love to meet people, so I think that's our gift.
Good, perfect. Gordon, do you have anything more?
No, not really.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gordon and Lee. Well, this one here I really wanted to hear from because from my point of view, I see a body that is deteriorating, but he doesn't seem to notice. He just has a spirit of cheerfulness and thankfulness that amazes me, and I'd like him to talk about it so that we know that it can be done. I mean, all of us have trials in our life, and we let it beat us, or we, in the power of God, overcome it. So I'm going to ask Bill Gates to come forward. Bill, do you want to sit on the edge here?
Yeah, that would be good.
Take this then.
Thank you. Really, I'm grateful for this opportunity of publicly thanking the Lord for his goodness to me. And so that I don't go over time, I'm going to really stick pretty closely to my notes that I've made. The year 2016 has been a relatively quiet one at the Gates Ranch, but it was a year in which Joyce and I celebrated our 62nd wedding anniversary, and I had my 83rd birthday. Because I married an older woman, and though we have our birthday on the same day, she had her 85th, and that was a special occasion. But the quiet year was typical of all those years that have preceded it, in that God has once again graciously cared for us during that year. I was born into a Christian family whose godly parents led me to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation at the age of 5. And I knew that I had come into a relationship with him. I knew I was a sinner who needed a Savior, and I trusted Christ. And though sadly I've often failed to walk obediently, far too many times I've deliberately sinned, and on so many occasions I have not allowed the Holy Spirit to produce his characteristics in me, particularly patience, as you could discover by asking my good wife. But the Lord has never failed to love and care for me. I'm so grateful for that promise that if we confess our sin, he's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The The Lord then graciously, while I was still a child, called me to serve him, and I was very, very confident of the fact that he had done so. And he has allowed me to do so for 64 years this next May. As a pastor, a denominational executive, an author, and a conference speaker. And I'm amazed at that, but I'm so, so grateful to the Lord for this wonderful privilege. No way I can adequately thank him. One minor highlight of 2016 for me was the fact that some friends in Regina arranged to publish my eighth book titled Eternal Truth for Trying Times. That's based on a series of messages which I gave up at Prairie Tabernacle in Three Hills in November of 2014. Another highlight is the fact that my prostate cancer is stable, and that recently the pain level, which for many, many months has created mobility challenges for me, that pain level has decreased very dramatically in recent weeks. And I can only attribute that to the goodness of the Lord and his touch on my life, my body. For over 25 years, it's been my practice to read and with a felt marker highlight portions of Scripture every year, at least once a year. And God's Word has been an invaluable source of strength. And once again this past year, that has been so. How I thank him for his word. And the biblical promises, especially the promise that Christ will come for his bride, the church, in the rapture, something that could very easily happen this coming year, what a blessing that would be. That promise and those promises are a source of confidence as we face an unknown future in a very chaotic and increasingly dangerous world. For though we don't know the future, as has been often said, we can know the one who holds the future. And so we give him our thanks and praise. I want to conclude with this thought. This morning, after our devotional time together, Joyce and I decided that in 2017, we're going to follow the suggestion in today's Daily Bread reading. If you read Daily Bread, you know that that reading described a woman who made what she called a thanksgiving jar, into which she placed each day a note on which she had recorded one cause for gratitude to God. That was her thanksgiving jar, and at the end of the year, she pulled out all of those notes and reviewed them and once again praised God for his goodness. And the Lord willing and enabling, Joyce and I are going to do that in 2017, as long as the Lord tarries. Well, that's basically it. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord and to have his hand upon us regardless what may come. And even though we don't always respond as we ought to, we can always be forgiven for our failures and continue to walk with him and thank him for his goodness. God bless you, and I trust for each of you a wonderful 2017.
Thank you, Bill. Yes, our church family is very fortunate to have you as an example, faithfulness among us. Next, we have something that has been taking place in our church on Wednesday evening, and that's why you probably don't know about it, but it has been a really, really good thing, and I'd like you to hear more about it. So I'm going to call up Diana Gerritsen and Brynna Straub, and they are going to tell about the junior high Bible study that has been taking place every Wednesday evening. Diana and Brynna.
Good morning. I'm Diana Gerritsen. I do Bible study at my home Wednesday evenings with a bunch of junior high girls, and I absolutely love having them in my home. So I'll kind of just outline for you what we do, and then Brenda's going to share a little bit about some of the things she's learned and a favorite moment or two or something. Sounds good. So this year, back in January, we started with a Bible study. We were focusing on Case for Faith by Lee Strobel, and it was pretty good. They had lots of questions and tough ones that made us think as leaders trying to answer those questions for them and really dig into our Bibles ourselves. And we told them often at the end of all our answers to them, you should really read your Bible. Make sure you know your Bible, what your Bible is telling you, because I can interpret the Bible and I can mess up because I am only human, but the Bible is true and the Bible is right. And after telling them this many, many, many times, it occurred to me, do they really know how to read their Bibles to get something out of reading their Bibles? So after we did Lee Strobel's book, we did a little bit of a study on how to read the Bible. So we learned how to highlight things with colors in our Bible and do the soak method. So scripture, observation, application, and kneeling in prayer about what we're reading. We talked a little bit about the Bible journaling method, which is really artsy and fun for that type of personality. And we talked about using our concordance to actually seek out things and terms in our Bibles. I don't know if I've ever seen a group of people so excited about reading something, never mind reading the Bible. It was absolutely fantastic. And towards the end of the year there, I guess it was actually the last day, we didn't make it through our last study, which was using a concordance and other materials to help us search out answers in our Bible. And so I gave them a question as homework and asked them to come back to me with the answer. I also did find the answer in the Bible myself. And at our last gathering, we were gathered around the fire pit in my backyard, and I didn't bother sharing my answer because I had a few girls articulate and research so well the answer, I was blown away. I was totally impressed. So we ended off our year, or like spring, on a good note, and we headed into the summer. And over the summer, I kept being drawn to Titus chapter 2, verse 4. Which says, similarly, teach the older women to live in the ways that honor God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands, their children, to live wisely, to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. And about the same time, I also heard a podcast. They were interviewing Dr. Kara Powell from the Fuller Youth Institute, and she was speaking about how to keep our young people engaged in the church. I'm sure you've heard statistics about young people falling away from church after they graduate high school and leave home and stuff like that. And one of the things she said was that it specifically takes the interest of congregation members outside of the church-organized youth group. And so I had thoughts from what she said in her podcast, and just thinking about Titus 31, words like mentorship, relationship, teaching, life experience, people not feeling alone. And I wanted to incorporate a broader demographic of our church to speak into these girls' lives. So we have been hearing a few testimonies this year, which has been really fantastic. I have gained so much from listening to the people that we've had come to us and just share about their lives, and they've been absolutely inspiring, and absolutely inspiring. So we do that once a month, and then twice a week this fall we've been studying the book of Philippians. We did a vote, and the girls picked Philippians, and it's been pretty good so far. And then in the fourth week we try and do some kind of fun activity. So we've done a few different things. We had some people host us earlier, last month now, for a progressive supper, and we hosted these girls, invited a bunch of the younger girls in our church together and did games night with them, and we did devotionals and stuff like that. That was really fun too. These girls themselves have been blessing me with their tough questions that make me dig a bit deeper into my Bible to look for the answers, the true answers. They bless me with their enthusiasm, and some days, and they just simply bless me by reminding me that there's more to life than coffee, big piles of laundry, and toddler tantrums. There's also homework, basketball, and boys.
I'm Brenna, and I love coming to Bible study every week. It's a lot of fun, and it's really fun to hang out with all the girls. I really liked it when we had the Progressive Supper. It was really fun and yummy. We're doing the Book of Philippians right now, and so far what I've kind of learned from it is about Paul and how he never gives up on God, and he's never, like, given up on him and always had faith in him and always trusted him when he's been through a lot. So he's always trusted in him and And I think that he's a great role model, and I'm really thankful for that. The teachers, like Diana and Jillian, that they have us come in every week, and we get to learn more about God. And, yeah.
Thanks, Diana and Brenna. So Jill Wickersham helps on those nights, and do you have about 6 to 8 girls, Brenna, when you're there? Yeah. Super thing. Just really glad that Diana and Jill have been pouring their lives into these girls. Very good for us. Yasmin. And Yasmin, I'll have to stop you after an hour. This is a good thing here because, I mean, they've been learning English, and it's just been getting better and better and better, and you're able more and more to tell us about yourselves and what it's like to be here and where you came from. Go ahead, Yasmin.
Okay. Hi, guys, and Happy New Year. I'm sorry because my English is broken a little bit. I need to say for thank you, God, for the is I'm born in the family Christian. And I love the God because he give me, my mother is strong woman. She have many idea because I have a bad life, and she have a good idea for her children, I and my brother Maruf. And the God give me many tests hard, but show me how I doing for this test. But I think I doing well with my God. The God is very good for us because the Jesus is see me how I doing for everything, and I'm sorry, I forgot. that Jesus is help us. He see I what doing in Syria. That is this 5 years ago is very bad life there, and he test me. He show me how I can doing, and he give me in to Canada. I live in Canada before 10 months ago, and I have a good friend and a good people. I see the very friendly and very love. I like this town, and he teach me how I can speak in English. And when I went here, I can't speak English. I can't understand for the people. But I think I'm better. I have a big, many, many thank you for God, for everything, for the life, for my family, for my brother. He's a very strong man. He's have seen me the hard life, but he's can take care for me and take care for my mom. And he have 3 girls, and he can take care for 6 girls. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Yasmin. You know, we still feel ourselves so blessed to have the Ghanem family in our town, and we do love you. We really do. Now, Tyler Cox, it is your turn. I hope that you are able to tell us a little bit about your story up to this point. It is a great one, and we are just, again, so happy to have you here. Go ahead, Tyler.
Thank you very much, Chris. Hello, everybody. I just want to thank Chris for this opportunity. When I got your text message there, I was a little bit taken back from it, and truthfully, that was God working in my life in huge ways, because I seen that text message, and I was like, nope, not happening. And then you called me, and for some reason, the decline button wouldn't work, and it answered, and now here I am. And I grew up in this community, but I was never part of this community. And to be here and to be a part of this community is such a blessing that I can't even put to words. Where God has taken me from and to is amazing. And his plan for me, I don't know it yet, but I know it's going to be great. And I'm blessed to be part of this community. Thank you all. I'm not a very good public speaker, and I know that God has plans for my life, and I'm sure that I'll be up here again in front of many of you. And thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thanks, Tyler. I'm glad you got up here and did that. We know that you have come a long, long ways, and we're just so delighted how God has worked in your life. You have to live in the middle of it, and I know that it's, from that point of view, it's a struggle every day, but we want you to know that we are cheering for you, that we love you, and just are inspired ourselves by your faithfulness to stay at this. So, we wanted you to know how much we love you too. All right, we have a few minutes for other people who would like to come up and say something. So if you have something that you would like to share from this last year, go ahead and do that.
Good morning, but I just couldn't sit still. I would like to take you back a whole century, with your permission. Last night I read my mother and dad's memoirs. One century ago, they were going through anarchy in southern Russia, just like what is happening in Syria. This was called the Russian Revolution. Stability under a dictatorship deteriorated into communism, and people lost everything. Many people were slaughtered just because they owned land. This affected many Mennonites, and so when the doors opened to come to Canada, they were eager to come. People in Linden, the Church of God in Christ, opened the door for my parents to come here and took them in about 3 months to get them started. This community has a history of accepting refugees. We did it back in the 80s for the Vietnamese people. And now we are just delighted for the people that have come here from Syria. And through it all, praise the Lord. Thank you.
I could have had a fairly lengthy exhortation this morning, but I have, before I came, I shortened it here. Last night, as I was reading in my favorite devotional, Streams in the Desert, the reading was in 1 Samuel 7:12. Thus far has the Lord helped us. The words thus far are like a hand pointing in the direction of the past. It had been a long time, 20 years in all, in verse 2. But even if it had been 70 years, thus far has the Lord helped. Whether through poverty, wealth, sickness, or health, whether at home or abroad, or on land, sea, or air, and whether in honor, dishonor, difficulties, joy, trials, triumph, prayer, or temptation, thus far has the Lord helped. These words also point forward. Someone who comes to a certain point and writes the words, thus far, realizes he has not yet come to the end of the road and that he still has some distance to travel. There are still more trials, joys, temptations, battles, defeats, victories, prayers, answers, toils and strength yet to come. These are followed by sickness, old age, disease, and death. And then, is life over after death? No. These are yet to come, arising in the likeness of Jesus, thrones, harps, and the singing of psalms, being clothed in white garments, seeing the face of Jesus and sharing fellowship with the saints, and experiencing the glory of God, the fullness of eternity, and infinite joy. So, dear believer, be strong and take heart. Psalm 27:14. And with thanksgiving and confidence, lift your voice in praise, for the Lord, who thus far has helped you, will help you in all your journey through. And myself, as one who can be inclined to anxiety, the Lord gave me these words to carry through this year. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And again, in a Bible word search that I was doing yesterday, the verse in Colossians 4, just a sec here. Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. And this is, again, this is, I believe God is giving me this instruction for 2017. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Thank you.
Good morning. I like it better when the mic comes to you. But God just was sitting there prompting me to come and share. And this year has been a year of lots of change in our family. And many of them are good things, and many of them have been difficult. And I guess the thing that has struck me throughout the year, they aren't things that have happened specifically to me, but to people around me that are very dear and I'm very intimately involved with. And it's hard to watch some of these changes. And again and again, I'm reminded of God's word, and he talks about the Father of lights, and he never changes. And that verse has been precious to me for years and years. And I just have to thank God that regardless of the changes, they aren't always the changes that we desire, but he does have a plan, and he has a plan for me and for each of those, of all of you guys and the people that I'm speaking of specifically. And I just have to say thank you, Jesus, that I can't imagine going a day without him and without being able to trust him for what's ahead. And so, yeah, I just wanted to share that. I don't know why, but that's it. And I'm looking forward to what 2017 has and realizing that it's not me, it's God, and that he has gone before already. And so I'm really, really thankful and encouraged by that. And I also want to say that each time any of you get up here and share something, and it's been throughout the year. I know there was a few other places where we went, and I heard some testimonies. I just want to encourage all of you, when God prompts you, step out, because you don't know how you've spoken into my life, and if that's happened, I'm sure it's been to others here too. So, yeah, just praise to God for what he has for all of us in 2017.
Good morning. I didn't plan on this. This is God was prompting. God performs miracles even today. And that's just an absolute truth. And God answers prayer. I asked someone to pray for things that were going on in my life a little while ago, several months ago. And that person said to me, "Do you think God really answers prayer?" I was blown away, actually, that someone would even doubt it. So then I just told her that, yeah, you know, God does hear our prayers. I can absolutely, well, you just look into the lives of my life, my family's life, and you can tell that God answers prayers. And so I just wanted to share that with you people, and I just want to encourage you that don't ever give up praying. Thank you.
I needed a chance to tell this church what they've meant to me and people from this church. Big things like quit your job, we're going to pay off the rest of your mortgage, and be with your husband while he's so sick. And even now at Christmas time, and every Christmas since, there's a card, and inside of the card there's a check. Make sure I'm going to have a good Christmas. And then I hear a noise at night, at least what seems like night. It's dark outside. Scritch, scratch, somebody is shoveling out there with a snow shovel. And so many things happen that way that I just need to thank this church family, because they are a great family. So you're lucky, you guys from Syria, to be here. It's a great place to be. And your English is just fine. And Tyler, that was an amazing production, that talk. You are a good, good speaker. Touched my heart, that's for sure.
We are going to finish with communion. So I'm going to call the deacons up and they can get the elements ready for this distribution. This is a good thing to do at the end of a testimony service. We are not just giving Christmas updates on how our year has been. We are testifying to Jesus Christ, his work in our life. We are his witnesses in our very person and how he changes us. And that all begins with what Jesus began with his own life and his death, in which he came down from heaven and made it possible for us to be transformed. None of us are stuck in the way that we once were, in our natural selves, with all its problems. There is hope. We can be redeemed. It was costly. It was costly. It cost Jesus his life. His body had to be broken. He had to spill his blood in order that our sins might be forgiven. But he did it. He did it for us out of his great love. And here we are celebrating the lives changed by his love. And let us finish with communion. We are going to come forward for this when you are ready. We've got gluten-free right here and bread on the outside here. And come and take part of communion together and remember what Jesus has done for us. So, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread. And after having given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup also, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for what you did for us. You gave your life for us in order that we might be changed and redeemed and have the chance to come and tell stories about how you change our lives, how you are still at work. And as how Leah Tave said, prayer still works. You are still working, and we are just so thankful. So we do this out of thanksgiving to you for your gift to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Come forward.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood of the sweetest. of loss, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fly.
Let us eat and drink together. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You are dismissed.